WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Members of Congress honored Charlie Kirk on Capitol Hill last night. Today, the man accused of murdering him will be in court to face state charges. FBI Director Kash Patel says 22-year-old Tyler Robinson has confessed to the killing. The National Guard is headed to Memphis.
FBI figures show Memphis ranks first in the country in the rate of violent crime. But local officials report making progress, claiming historic reductions, saying the murder rate is at a six-year low. Trump insists the city is overrun with crime and is vowing to take similar action in other cities run by Democrats.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. President Trump is headed to the UK today. He'll be in Windsor for a state visit with the King and Queen. He'll also be talking trade with Prime Minister Keir Starmer. The Israeli military has begun its much-anticipated ground offensive targeting Gaza City. People still in the city warned they must move further south, even though many of them have insisted all along they have nowhere else to go. This is ABC News.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If this past weekend box office earnings are any indication, anime has completely arrived. Demon Slayer Infinity Castle found itself at the top of the box office with a $70 million opening weekend. Its opening day take of $33 million was the highest opening ever for an anime film. Last week's number one film, The Conjuring Last Rites, held off three challengers for the number two spot and a take of $26 million. The three new releases include Downton Abbey, which brought in $18 million big ones in its first week of release to finish at number three. The Stephen King-inspired The Long Walk pulled in $11.5 million over the weekend. The film is based on King's first novel of the same title. And in fifth place was sort of a new release, or more accurately, a new re-release, as Toy Story brought in over $3 million on over 200 screens, giving it a massive haul of $195 million dating back about 30 years. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers back in Madison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football. The Wisconsin Badgers home this Saturday against the Maryland Terrapins. Wisconsin now 2-1 after their loss in Alabama over the weekend. Baseball. Yesterday we told you Brewers manager Pat Murphy read a letter he said was from Bob Uecker to the team after they clinched the spot in the playoffs. Turns out it was another practical joke. Murphy now clarifies he wrote the letter all along. Not Bob.
And it's just a way to honor the man, you know, and kind of put together some words that the players could resonate with, you know, things that he was about, because he's a big part of this thing. And I thought it would be a nice gesture to keep him involved. We brought the picture of him celebrating with us. And, you know, it was really about honoring him. And nobody believed in their right mind that, you know, he could produce a letter like that at this time, but his spirit is with us.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, Susan Kearns from Milwaukee Film joins me to talk about a really sweet event. Then renowned Milwaukee-based singer-songwriter Trapper Shep joins me and shares his amazing music. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke. Every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 83 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at only about 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 61. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we discuss the rise in death by suicide rates in Wisconsin and try to look into what the cause and the solution is. Also, the Brewers are back in action. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
JR Sport Brief.
The Houston Rockets are their full basketball team, top to bottom. And there's no such thing as a perfect basketball team. And you can nitpick at everything that could go wrong, or the age of Van Vliet, or what the deal is with Durant. You can do that until the sky is just a completely different color. But they got depth, and they got a good team. And what the Rockets look like this upcoming season, it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
Boy, not a thing to complain about weather-wise for a Tuesday. Welcome to it. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We talk about weather. We talk about anything connected with how food reaches your table, thanks to Wisconsin agriculture. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, joins us in about 15 minutes with the weather details. Forecast in front of me calling for maybe a little fog this morning, but otherwise a sunny day. 84 our expected high. Same thing tomorrow, sunny and 83. Sunny on Thursday, 83. And then a slight chance of showers moves in Thursday night, could linger into Friday. We'll get more details on that when Stu joins us in about 15 minutes. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, also a guest this morning. He'll give us the latest news that's influencing our grain trade as well as livestock. And something that they're trying to do down at the state capitol. So many farms in Wisconsin standing idle. Maybe there's not another family member to take on the responsibilities. Maybe there's nobody really interested or aware. And that's the key point. Stephanie Hoff chatted with State Representative Clint Moser about a farm link they would like to create to try to match those that want to farm with those that are looking to exit. We'll talk more about that as the morning rolls on.
There's only one silage brand that's been raising the bar for over 30 years. There's only one silage seed lineup that's been designed, selected, and tested for optimal performance in Midwestern soils and conditions, and enjoyed by millions of cows across the region. You might be hearing about a lot of newcomers who promise more milk per ton and more tonnage per acre, but there's only one you should trust. Dairyland Seed High DF. Discover the High DF difference at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
From sweet corn and pumpkins to a one-of-a-kind FFA corn maze, Pedals and Plows in Ripon is more than a farm, it's an experience. With help from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, small businesses like Wade and Haley Kaufman's can grow, connect with their communities, and welcome visitors from across the state.
It's finding people who know people, finding resources that can connect you with other resources. And that's exactly what I think WADA is. It's a very beneficial resource to somebody who wants to grow their agritourism business. They're just always ready to help. I can't think of a time that I haven't reached out to Sheila, who helps run that, where she hasn't been right on the ball and gotten back to me with an answer or said, hey, hang on, I'm going to get you an answer by tonight or tomorrow. And that's priceless to have that kind of customer service.
Haley Kaufman from Pedals and Plows. Discover how the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association supports local businesses at GoWIAgTourism.com.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb SmartStacks and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility?
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
For many farmers in the state of Wisconsin, custom operators are necessary for their operation, whether it be for tilling, manure spreading, or harvest. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and with the last of that list coming up soon, Jeremy Heim, a board member for the Wisconsin Custom Operators, is here to share an update on how the demand has been this year for their services and what can be expected from this upcoming harvest season.
In our area, I think there's plenty of people out there to do the work right now. I think we've had pretty good weather, so it makes it pretty easy to do custom work right now. I think when we hit the bad weather times is when we kind of weed out some of the custom people in the market. So right now there's a good supply of custom operators in our area for liquid manure or harvesting, in my opinion.
And what's that demand looking like? Are a lot of people needing you custom harvesters?
Yeah, absolutely. People are in need of custom harvesters as the farms grow and labor gets tight. It's just a good option for a lot of operations to move to custom work and have us come in and do maybe half of it or maybe all of it, whatever works for them.
And when we look at some recent trends, obviously this year has been, we're supposed to have good crop and everything, but when you look at prices, not exactly where they want it to be, is that affecting people wanting to hire custom harvesters at all?
I think from the drone side of things that we do, there's been a little less demand on that just because maybe they want to spend a little less on inputs on a crop. But for harvesting and for manure applications and stuff, no, we haven't seen a decrease at all with that. The work still has to get done, and they need help with it.
And when you look, I guess, for you specifically, what's the average number of acres that you can expect to need to harvest and expect and need to get done throughout this time here in the fall?
So when it comes to liquid manure, we don't measure really in acres because the rates are different, but we need to move roughly another 100 million gallons of manure. So that kind of covers that side of it, but chopping will probably cover ours about only 1,500 acres of corn, and then we'll roll into cover crops and alfalfas yet with another 2,000 of them to do yet this year.
And what's that time frame? Because obviously it's multiple farmers that might need things done. What's the time frame look like to be able to get out there and get to various farms if multiple need you out there?
We always say we'll get to them within a day or two. Somehow, some way, our crew is awesome, and we've been able to do it. I think, yeah, it's a challenge sometimes when you get five phone calls in a day saying, I want you tomorrow, but we usually sift through it and get there within a day or two.
And with your crew, how many people are out there working? How many do you have to be able to help with the demand?
Usually on a daily base, we start with about 25 people. Sometimes that gets up to about 35 people if there's lots of demand for what we need to do that week.
Yeah, and can you give me a run through of kind of what your year looks like as a custom operator starting at the beginning of season all the way through here?
Beginning of season usually kicks off around April 15th, moving liquid manure. And then that rolls right into basically spring work. So tilling fields if they're not no-till, and getting stuff in the ground, and then generally coming back with a liquid manure application on the no-till fields after they're planted. And then we just roll right into alfalfa, which keeps us busy with liquid manure right after the hay is removed, pretty much all summer. That's what we're doing actually today, is applying on alfalfa that's been cut in the last few days. And then you just get to fall where you take the corn off and then do a whole bunch more of liquid manure applications, hopefully on growing cover crops, so we can keep the soil healthy and keep the ground not brown, keep it green.
And if you've talked to other custom harvesters as well, I know earlier you mentioned your demand, but have you heard of any of a high demand overall throughout the state for custom operators?
Absolutely. I'm on the board for Wisconsin Custom Operators, and it's a big thing straight across the state just because, labor's tight, and it's tight for the custom guys and it's tight for the farm. So makes it challenging, but usually the custom guys will figure it out somehow and get a crew together and go.
Heim says that if you are looking for a custom operator, to make sure that they are reputable, you can check their website at wisconsincustomoperators.org to see if they have the safety certificates and other things that might be necessary in helping make your decision. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarboe.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
This year, the adventure is calling louder than ever before. Craft your own magic at the Wicked Wand Workshop. Race for glory at the Ninja Warrior Challenge. Or battle for honor at the Viking Invasion. Plus, enjoy classic favorites like live armored combat jousting. Or slay your hunger with tasty turkey legs. The Minnesota Renaissance Festival is back with new adventures. Get your tickets now at renaissancefest.com. Huzzah!
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Hunters, beware what you eat. Wisconsin health officials have issued a new consumption advisory for ducks harvested on Green Bay. Testing shows mallard and wood ducks on the bay are contaminated with toxic PFAS forever chemicals. UW-Madison researchers have linked contamination in the bay to Tyco Fire Products near Marinette. A key research center on the Mississippi River is falling prey to big federal cuts targeting science. The French Island facility, known as an ecosystem research area, produces information on water quality, invasive species, wildlife diseases, and more. Heavy cuts to the program take effect on October 1st and could effectively eliminate more than a century of scientific research. Knowledge is power. Right now on the Defender podcast, $150 million is available to help Wisconsinites upgrade their homes and cut energy use. Learn how to get started at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Dan Schaefer gets us reset on who all is running for what in Wisconsin next year. And Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson from Capitol Hill.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All righty. Weather on the way. Our man, Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us. Thank you for using the talk text line this morning. That's 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. Stu, we are hearing from Scott in West Allis this morning. Wants to know a little bit about the fog. He said it's not real noticeable until he gets to certain areas on his drive to Walker's Point. Somebody else noticed northern lights that were particularly good. You also have rainfall reports for some lucky ducks.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff to talk about that way today. Fog, let's talk about that one. You know, we get these warm days. There's moisture building in the air. We have that summer feeling. We all like it. What happens at night? That atmosphere cools off in a real big hurry, and that moisture condenses. That's why we get the dew. But you get areas in the ground, you know, a little lower spot, a channel where there may at one time been a little river, you know, that low spot. And that's where that cool air really collects and that fog builds. That's where we get those little pockets and those low spots that show up with that fog. Yes, we did get some rain as well. In fact, I've got La Crosse indicating 72 hundredths of an inch this morning. Eau Claire only 7 hundredths of an inch. And that rain at La Crosse happened yesterday afternoon. There's a little activity north of Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls this morning. One little area with some showers. Could be some rumbles of thunder up there as well. It all boils down to low pressure, a strengthening system in the plains, going to have some big effects around Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, and there's going to be rain out there on and off over the next several days. Some showers in central North Dakota this morning and western Nebraska. That low isn't going to move east very quickly. We're going to see a front try to drop in out of the north. The front's still around far northwest Minnesota today, but that moist and mild air will build in. For a lot of folks, call it the southeastern half of Wisconsin. That means we're going to be warmer. The humidity builds up, that fog a little more likely late night, early morning, but really late summer type conditions with that very warm air. Further west, some occasional hit and miss showers, maybe a rumble of thunderstorm. Some areas could see hail, maybe a little burst of strong winds, especially in that western Wisconsin, southeast Minnesota. Far northwest Wisconsin may have a little light rain on or off here as we make our way through the next couple of days. The further you are in the east, the more likely you are going to be staying dry, but dealing with the very, very warm temperatures. Keep in mind, low to mid-70s are normal highs right now. We're going to talk about today in the east, almost mid-80s, mid-80s tomorrow. And we do start to cool down for the end of the week. That system in the plains finally will try to drop a cool front in here. And I'm anticipating as we start heading toward Friday and the weekend, those daytime highs start cooling off somewhat and back toward the 70s by the weekend. I said mid-70s at most in the south. That's a normal high. Well, upper 70s as we head toward the weekend. Still sounds really nice as we head through this already middle of the month of September. So pretty comfortable temperatures, no doubt about that. In the east, dry, great for harvest operations and field work. That chance of a little hit or miss shower in the west may leave us guessing a little bit. As a general rule, I don't expect major severe weather. We're not going to get flooded out or anything, but there will be some changes in our plans just because some of that rain chance could pop up now and again. But all in all, still pretty decent for a September weather pattern. We'll be watching that high weaken further to our east. The stronger low we're seeing in the central part of the U.S., off to our west, if you will, that will start to lose its punch here later in the week. But as we head toward Friday and the weekend, I'd say almost anywhere in Wisconsin that scattered showers or very isolated thunderstorms may be in that forecast. Can't guarantee it's going to be a dry weekend. Can't guarantee we're going to get washed out either, but some hit or miss rain could be seen. I'll have our forecast details right after
this.
For
many Wisconsin farms, the harvest has already begun. Corn silage, something we take seriously, and so does Helena Agri. Dean Ebert is with West Bend's location of Helena Agri, and he's been out in fields taking a look at the standing crop as well as what's coming out of that chopper.
I'm looking at cobs. I'm looking at tip development. Was there shortages of nitrogen? I'm looking for those diseases, hybrid to hybrid. I'm looking at stand counts and looking at weed control. Those are all things that affect the end result with yield. So I make notes, talk to a lot of customers, talk about what did they change with tillage, no-till, cover crops, pre-emerge herbicides, and just, like I said, try to shore things up to be better for next year.
Dean Ebert, he's on staff at the West Bend location for Helena Agri. Seeing something in your fields you don't understand or have a question about, Helena Agri will respond. They're already starting to put together operating budgets for 2026. If you're curious, just ask. Go to HelenaAgri.com.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, I got another rain report came in. Thorpe in Clark County, 0.04". Let's talk about today. Patchy fog, especially northwest of the Fox Valley, and that shower in the northwestern part of the state. Western Wisconsin may see a hit or miss shower this morning, again later in the day. More sunshine further east. I'd say in southern Wisconsin, mid-80s to be seen. Low and mid-80s in the west as well, with south winds at 5. Clearing it out a bit in the nighttime, fog around late. Upper 50s and low 60s, southeast breezes. Sunny on Wednesday, a slight shower chance again in the west, midday or into the afternoon. Still very mild, low and mid-80s for highs with southerly breezes. And even Thursday, Pam, we all start to talk about that chance of a shower, slight chance, especially later day, but still plenty of sunshine. And I'd say low and mid-80s for highs on Thursday with southeasterly breezes. Friday, Pam, we may all see a little hit or miss shower.
Well, I'll tell you, there are some areas of Wisconsin that really are getting a little on the desperate side for rain. Now, I know we want to harvest the corn silage and we got a lot of things to do, but there are some areas that were deficit going into corn silage, you know?
Right, and that's talking about like the southern half of Iowa. Things are starting to get dry, but they might very well be in the focal point for some rain of the day or two that probably will make a difference.
Mm. All right, bud. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. See you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, giving you your weather update. We're looking for your updates. Talk text line is always open to you. I see that Rocky from Taycheedah even sent us a picture of a rolling combine in his neighborhood. You're welcome to chime in. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. In fact, if you've got a question, remember John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is joining us on a Tuesday morning, wondering about something in the market. Doesn't have to be grain. Maybe Maybe it's livestock. Maybe it's dairy. Go ahead and use that talk text line and pose that question to us. We'll relay it on to John. Stick around on a Tuesday morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of The Todd Alba Show, where he's joined by James Small.
Happy and proud and honored to have James Small, the Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager at the UW School of Medicine and Rural Health. James, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me on today.
Let's talk a little bit about this workforce more, because you're much more, obviously much more versed in this than I am. I know a few years back, a good friend of mine, Troy Everson, which was integral in the Viroqua and Vernon County EMS and EMT system. He now does that down in Burlington, Wisconsin. And I know he helped get through a piece of legislation years ago where high school students that were taking courses to be volunteers were allowed to actually help and actually do some of the stuff as long as they were with a licensed person on the team. And that really opened up and not just created more workforce, but also was almost like an apprentice type of training. Have you seen that have an effect?
Yes. You're seeing in a number of different regions around the state, the technical colleges are running what they call a dual enrollment program, where high school seniors will come in and learn a trade. And one of those programs might be fire EMS. There's been a high demand for that. I've seen the technical college systems be very successful with that. There's also some high schools that have partnered with other training centers to offer EMT training right in the schools.
Wow.
And La Follette School of Public Policy just did an EMS-related report that came out in the last couple of weeks, and one of their key recommendations was expansion of the high school EMS programs to provide somebody access to a workforce. Because those kids that are going through those programs right now are going to find a job pretty quickly after coming out of it.
And good paying with good benefits generally.
Yes. Yep. This is going to be a job that probably has a living wage with good benefits working for a government right out of high school, potentially in some cases.
Yeah.
And then continue on with further training like paramedic training and so on. But it's I think that's one tool that we need to look at. But just access to training in general. You know, when we did our ambulance reliability study a couple of years ago, one of the things that we found is about 13% of the services had an hour or more drive to a training center. Well, that's a huge barrier. If you're depending on volunteers to come in and they're going to work their regular job all day, drive an hour to training, spend 4 hours in training, drive an hour home, and then go back to their job the next day, their real job, and then they're going to do that 50 times. And that's a lot to ask of somebody who wants to come in and volunteer. So finding other access points is going to be, or alternative ways to delivering that training is something we need to do.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Members of Congress honored Charlie Kirk on Capitol Hill last night. Today, the man accused of murdering him will be in court to face state charges. FBI Director Kash Patel says 22-year-old Tyler Robinson has confessed to the killing. The National Guard is headed to Memphis.
FBI figures show Memphis ranks first in the country in the rate of violent crime. But local officials report making progress, claiming historic reductions, saying the murder rate is at a six-year low. Trump insists the city is overrun with crime and is vowing to take similar action in other cities run by Democrats.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. President Trump is headed to the UK today. He'll be in Windsor for a state visit with the King and Queen. He'll also be talking trade with Prime Minister Keir Starmer. The Israeli military has begun its much-anticipated ground offensive targeting Gaza City. People still in the city warned they must move further south, even though many of them have insisted all along they have nowhere else to go. This is ABC News.
The Badgers back in Madison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers home this Saturday against the Maryland Terrapins. Wisconsin now 2-1 after their loss in Alabama over the weekend. Baseball, yesterday we told you Brewers manager Pat Murphy read a letter he said was from Bob Uecker to the team after they clinched the spot in the playoffs. Turns out it was another practical joke. Murphy now clarifies he wrote the letter all along.
not Bob.
And it's just a way to honor the man, you know, and kind of put together some words that the players could resonate with, you know, things that he was about, because he's a big part of this thing. And I thought it would be a nice gesture to keep him involved. We brought the picture of him celebrating with us. And, you know, it was really about honoring him. And nobody believed in their right mind that, you know, he could produce a letter like that at this time, but his spirit is with us.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for lieutenant governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 83 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at only about 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 61. Tomorrow, a few scattered thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
This year, the magic is calling you like never before. Craft your own magic at the Wicked Wand Workshop and race for glory at the Ninja Warrior Challenge. Feast on hearty turkey legs and cheer on live combat jousts. There's something for everyone in our magical village. Bring your family, bring your friends, and create memories that will last through the ages. The Minnesota Renaissance Festival, weekends August 16th through September 28th. Don't miss the adventure. Get your tickets at renaissancefest.com.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where he's joined by Hans Breitenmauser.
There were at least a couple of rural sheriffs that were passing emails back and forth about not necessarily cooperating any further with ICE, seeing how things were being handled. And really, Hans, I mean, it's about going after brown people first and foremost. Yes. But in Trump's case, he's like, well, as long as we're going after brown people in the blue areas, the white people in the red areas who need the brown people to make money are going to be okay. That sums up Donald Trump in a nutshell.
Well, I think you're right. Unfortunately, I think that's kind of where we're at. And obviously, all these things are more complicated than we'd like them to be. But that's reality. That's what it means to be a grown-up. Things are complicated sometimes. And what I can say is that the dairy industry falls completely apart in the state of Wisconsin without foreign born employees. We need a mechanism by which we can have people from other countries coming in and doing jobs in this country. Otherwise, the economy just doesn't work. Any economist worth their salt will tell you that. This isn't, economics needing a PhD. This is simple math. And so anybody that can't see past the idea that we're simply demonizing a group of people and scapegoating them, they're simply kidding themselves. And I'm willing to forgive people for that, but I have a hard time forgiving policymakers for that, because by God, they should know better.
Yeah. My response to that is, when it comes to racial politics and Donald Trump and the MAGA wing, sometimes things really are as simple as they might seem. But that's my whole two cents on it. I got just over a minute left and wanted to ask you in general about June Dairy Month. There have been activities that are going on. And I always worry that as the years go by and as more of these factory farms come in and people start taking things for granted, do you still feel like all these June Dairy Month activities, they make a dent, they help folks around Wisconsin appreciate what's going on? Or are you more concerned that maybe it's not, you know, what it used to be?
Well, I don't think it's what it's used to be. You know, it's hard not to be nostalgic for the days when there were 13 dairy farms on my road, and now there's only three of us left. The dairy industry has changed a great deal, but I do feel like the June dairy events are well received and well attended, and they go to some very nice farms, some large and some small, and it does help the public appreciate, you know, what the dairy industry contributes to the state economy, and helps educate non-farmers on what happens on real farms. And getting back to the earlier conversation, I hope that as we go forward, part of that conversation is the fact that there's brown people that work on those farms as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The Zone.
Another public hearing happening today at 1 o'clock at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Also virtually, it's all about those proposed fee increases that could impact anyone in Wisconsin that markets any kind of livestock. It's being levied against the livestock yards in Wisconsin, our truckers, as well as those dealers. We're going to talk a little bit more about why you want to be involved as we roll our way through the morning. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live as well. Welcome back. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 16th day of September. Let's see. Did you know on this day back in 1908, General Motors Corporation founded in Flint, Michigan? The primary drivers of that, William Durant and Charles Mott. General Motors Corporation founded on this day back in 1908. Couple happy birthdays for you today. David Copperfield, the master magician, turned 69 today. And actress-comedian Amy Poehler, she is 54 years young. And now you know. Well, we want you to know there's efforts done at the state capitol to try to find new farmers in Wisconsin. There's a lot of people, believe it or not, that really do want to be involved in agriculture, but sometimes getting connected with that land base can be tough. Stephanie Hoff reports there's a plan to try to make that a little easier now.
Today, we're digging into a new proposal in the state legislature aimed at the future of Wisconsin farming. The bill would require the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection to launch a Farmland Link program through its farm center. The idea is to connect landowners or retiring farmers with beginning farmers looking for agricultural ground. The bill's author, Representative Clint Moses, says the idea came from a statewide need to both find farmland and keep that land in agriculture.
It's actually a really big issue across the state, but you know, my background, I have a small farm, small beef cattle operation. We used to have sheep as well, and it's really geared towards helping out younger people that want to get into agriculture, whether it be orchards or agritourism or maybe expanding their dairy, beef herd, poultry, whatever. But getting them connected with potential egg producers or people that have egg land that want to sell it. My intent would be to keep more of our land agricultural and not have it go into development, you know, and more industrial parks.
So how would a Farmland Link program work? I understand it's under the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, but what does it mean for the user?
What it is the best way to compare it, it's similar to like what realtors have with the MLS listings, but this would create a database that would be completely free for people to access, so a website that they could go to, a non-biased website that people could just post, you know, egg land they've got for sale, and others could go on there and find it.
Would it bring additional staff or additional funding to the Wisconsin Farm Center to make it happen? And what is that price tag?
Yeah, and that's still in the works as far as the, you know, bills like this. The agency always will be looking at, okay, how much extra work does it create? And really, really insignificant. I would estimate it might take one or two people to basically be administrators and oversee the site. So it's not increasing their workload a lot. But yeah, that is something that is definitely in discussion as this bill advances and goes through the public hearing process.
Is there an incentive for people to give their information to be a part of this database?
Yeah, basically the incentive would be that they're able to sell their land. And, you know, many farmers, you know, they want to see their land continue to be used for agriculture. So the incentive for them would be, you know, obviously being able to scale back or retire. And then also the satisfaction of seeing that land still be in valuable egg production in Wisconsin.
Representative Clint Moses, along with us, vice chair on the Assembly Agriculture Committee and one of the authors listed on AB 411, which would create a Farmland Link program. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
We're number one.
The Pioneer brand Vorseed Endless Quarantine beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Corn silage harvest keeps moving along, according to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service. As of Sunday, 22% of our corn silage was already harvested. Potatoes, about 55% already dug out of the ground. As far as the condition ratings were concerned, our corn, 81% good to excellent. That's down a percentage point since last week. Soybeans, about 81% of that crop rated good to excellent, basically unchanged from last week. I wish the markets were unchanged, but they're trending lower. More on that with John Heinberg in just a little bit. Currently, we've got December corn up 2 at 425. November soybeans are up 3, right now 1046. The July new crop wheat, that's up a penny, 565. Barrel cheese was unchanged yesterday. 40-pound block cheese gained a quarter of a cent, 161 and three quarters. AA butter was down 4 at 182 a pound. This morning, the October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, down a nickel, 1643 a hundredweight. You need to be involved in the conversation if you don't want to see some major increases in fees on the livestock yards we've got in Wisconsin, those dealers that haul your animals, and the folks that buy them. Details on that on the way.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joe Zepecki.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. We discuss his newly announced bid for governor 2026. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Expensive venture, looking at fee increases up as much as 1,700%. Tressa Lacey, president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association, says that's why producers really need to voice their concerns.
And depending on how these fees were passed through to producers from the markets, we'll probably expect some higher commissions. And so that's going to impact the profit that we make. For some of the larger producers, I could see that they would choose to ship their animals to other states to market them. But for smaller producers like myself, it's probably not very economical to ship, you know, less than 10 head out of state to be sold. So I'm not quite sure what we would do in regards to that.
Tressa Lacey, president of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association, encouraging anybody that markets livestock, whether it's hogs or lambs, dairy or beef, to be involved in the conversation. Starts at 1 o'clock today, 1 o'clock tomorrow, the final two hearings on this issue. They're both live at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, or virtual. Details on how to get connected up at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection website, as well as equitycoop.com. John Heinberg is next.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand Vorseed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Vorseed Enlist beats DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro yields by an average of 7.1 bushels per acre across more than 24,000 comparisons, right?
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist has three modes of action against corn rootworm.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Time to talk commodities. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke, joined on this fine Tuesday morning by our friend John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. Remember their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. And if you want to talk to John, 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. So let's do a postmortem on the World Ag Supply Demand Report that came out on Friday, John. I'm not sure that anybody was necessarily surprised by the numbers, and it seems like these reports, once they hit, it's old news. Market, though, still paying attention to the yields that we are expecting. This is a big crop.
Yes, it is. And for the second consecutive month, the USDA added more acres into that corn pile and added a little more back into that soybean pile. They're using the FSA data. The FSA data has been, with the improvement in technology, gets processed much faster the last couple of years, to the point, realistically, the intentions report and maybe even the June plantings report are kind of becoming obsolete if they're going to come back and make adjustments of now pushing almost 4 4 million additional acres here in the last two USDA reports. You know, corn, we added 1.5 million acres and are now harvesting 90 million acres of corn this year. We planted 98.7, so almost 100 million acres of corn went in the ground this year. So that was kind of the surprise of the report. We saw that yield reduction by a couple bushels per acre. Now, again, that's probably not where it's going to end up on the final, but at least the trend is probably going to be softer in terms of that yield just because of the weather. And just from what I'm hearing, talking to producers, things are drying down extremely quickly. The disease pressure is really going to limit this crop. I wouldn't be surprised that yield number gets even softer down towards that 181 level. Maybe even we get under 181 and don't break trend line yet this year. We'll have to see how things go and how harvest starts going. So USDLF carryout basically unchanged. So we still have a large pile of corn. Like you said, obviously with those acres and that yield, we're harvesting a record by a long way compared to the previous records. And that's just going to be something that's in the market. Now, the market rallied off of that, had a really nice close on Friday, gave some of it back yesterday, firm this morning. I think yes, Friday was more of just a reaction to like, okay, they didn't give us anything that was going to destroy the balance sheet. The market's trading what it thinks the number is in terms of yield. And obviously that's going to be much lower than that 186.7 number that they put out there on Friday.
Now that's corn. The real baby in the bubble is soybeans. I mean, we're still not seeing any action from China, and it doesn't look to me like we're going to have a small soybean crop.
At least at this point. I mean, they just shaved a tenth of a bushel off the yield, so it really wasn't a whole lot of an adjustment there. Added 200,000 acres to it. And then on top of that, they did make some demand adjustments. In terms of the export side, it took off 100 million bushels from their August report because of that lack of Chinese business. Carryover went up to 300 million bushels. Now, there is just a lot of wiggle room out there in terms of what the soybean crop's going to be. Just talking to a few producers, the amount of disappointment I'm hearing now that this was going to be a monster crop. Things are looking great. You know, talking to guys in Illinois, 60, 70, 80 bushels to the acre. Now they're hoping they can make APH because this crop just dried down. You know, the USDA found a large supply of pods, a record number of pods in their pod counts. But the problem is we haven't had the weather to fill those pods. And that's going to be kind of the key going forward. If this yield comes down to that 50 area, low 50 area, like a 51 or even a 50, you know, watch this carryout fall apart very quickly. So that market's going to keep a little premium in. Plus, we had some talks with China over the weekend. Things seem to be kind of improving there. So maybe there's some optimism that China could be coming back into the market.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, totalfarmmarketing.com, their website, 800-334-9779, the phone number if you want to talk to John. All right, John, so we still have so many unknowns. We just explained it as far as the yield potential, also the international ramifications of continued talks. Talk to me like I'm a kindergartner. I know you're a former ag educator, so you know how to do this, buddy. What should I be thinking about for strategies? I mean, is it going to cost me an arm and a leg to get some of the insurance in the market that I can find? And like I said, you got to baby step us because this is only something we do once in a blue moon for some.
Sure, no problem. You know, obviously, in Wisconsin, things are really good. So a lot of Wisconsin producers are going to be probably putting some pretty good numbers together here in terms of putting this harvest in the bin. There's a lot of decisions that need to be made this year. First off, if there's going to be extra bushels, what are you going to do with those extra bushels? Had that conversation with a couple guys yesterday. You know, you got to look at bigger variables than just the price of grain here. You've got higher interest rates in terms of your operating loans, you know, so the cost of money in terms of holding on to grain longer term can become very, very expensive very quickly and eat up any potentials that you might have if you put it in a bin somewhere. You know, so I've been kind of encouraging guys, take a look at your cash market, pull some triggers, move some grain here, cash flow the operation through the fall a little bit with those extra bonus, what I call bonus bushels, basically above your expectations. But then we want to stay in the game somehow because, again, there's a lot of things that can change between now and January. We use what we call call strategies. Calls are a way to re-own your grain And I'm going to keep them cheap and keep them fixed. We get out into March or May and just give yourself a chance in case all of a sudden this corn yield comes down to a let's say it comes down to a 180, or this soybean yield comes to a 50 or a 49 because of this weather. This market's going to have a lot of potential volatility in it, especially because of, you know, at least where the corn demand is. So there's some things that we've been talking to producers about. Again, we want to keep things fixed. We want to minimize the risk in terms of margins and things of that nature. A call is a one-time cost. Pay for it. You got the position working, and just let it work. Whether you use somebody like myself or even talk to your elevator about it, those opportunities are out there that you can keep some ownership over this crop into the spring.
Excellent advice. John Heidenberg joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. Reach out to him, 800-334-9779, if you're interested in some of those tools or a little bit more advice. Talking prime rib trail tomorrow on the show. We'll see you then.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Keeping yourself and passersby safe during harvest, today on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support helped turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. There never seems to be enough time in the day to get all your farm work done. You're tempted to cut corners, but doing so can put you at risk of injury or worse. I urge you to resist the temptation. Play it safe. So what if it takes longer? You'll live to farm another day. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Farmers have a lot on their minds during harvest season, and Dan Neenan wants to make sure that safety is included. Neenan heads the National Education Center for Agricultural Safety in Piasta, Iowa.
The days are getting shorter, so you're going to see these big pieces of equipment out onto the roadway later into the evening, and we're getting darker earlier in the evening, so the chances that ag equipment is going to meet with the motoring public is pretty good this time of year.
Neenan says non-farmers who travel country roads also need to be safety conscious this time of year.
Ag equipment will be making turns into farmsteads. The motoring public, you have to obey the law, and you can only pass farm equipment in passing zones. You can't pass it in no passing zones. But we see a lot of collisions that occur between the motoring public and the farming community when tractors and the combines are turning left into farmsteads about the same time that the motoring public is trying to pass.
Neenan offers an additional safety tip related to harvest time.
We always want to take a look at the fire extinguishers that are in the shed and in the combine. Are they charged? Are they ready to go? The first aid kits. Do you have a farm first aid kit that's stocked and ready to go?
There's more at NorthShoreProductions.com. And be listening to this show and others on this station for National Farm Safety and Health Week programming next week. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a Fox host has to apologize after saying the homeless should be involuntarily executed. We'll talk about that with Todd Alba. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 Highway 63 Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Later today, we are expected to find out more details linking 22-year-old Tyler Robinson to the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Robinson is expected in court, where murder charges against him will be formally charged. Meantime, the spread of misinformation around the killing continues to grow.
Analysts finding posts that falsely allege Ukrainians are celebrating Kirk's death, also blaming Ukraine for his murder. One post included a fake quote from actor Pedro Pascal responding to a fake statement from President Trump. And another claims the BBC warned attacks against conservative leaders would spread to Europe. The organization says a large bot network is promoting the posts to push false narratives without any evidence or validation.
ABC's Rena Roy. The White House now saying it plans to send the National Guard to Memphis. Israel beginning its ground offensive in Gaza as a body of UN experts concludes there is reason to believe Israel is committing genocide in the Gaza Strip. This is ABC News.